Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, this is Fala Ba Ba Ba, and you're listening to the Las Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Bah, bah, bah.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact. I got a few of the bad boys here with me. Simon Street, what's up?
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
We good. King Lucky.
I'm ready for someone to get these hands.
Okay, all right. Matt Michaels.
I just can't stop thinking about the rag we were just talking about.
So. Oh, boy. Anyways.
Super excited.
Welcome to another edition. As I said before, this show is brought to you by our live show. That's going to be Wednesday, March 11th. At Boulder Station, where we will have our special guest, ROH World Champion PCO.
Yeah, that sounds, sounds going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Something interesting happened over the weekend, so we'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll talk about it. 6 p.m. start time, 21 and over, please. And it's a free show. Just come out and hang with your bad boys. And we're going to find out what's been going on with PCO. We do have our three count topics we're going to get into in just a moment. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what you've seen over this past weekend, which has been so much, right? AEW Revolution, WWE Super Showdown, even the SmackDown.
Ring of Honor.
The SmackDown after Super Showdown. A lot's been going on. And we're going to talk all about it. So hang in there for the entire length of the podcast. We thank all of you for being with us today. Let's get it started. Our first count of the show here comes from dailyddt.com, and it is titled The Plight of Black Male Wrestlers on WWE Programming. You know, guys, I know this is March, and this is more like a should have been in the Black History section of February, but apparently the guy just wrote this article a couple of days ago, so it didn't quite make it, but we're still going to say that this is like our Black History sort of subject title for the night. So that should be okay for us to handle, you think, right?
Shit, every day. Every day is a day to talk about Black history.
There you go. Well, check this out. Let me just read just a couple of lines from his article. And by the way, the author is Black as well. So we can see if we agree or disagree or have some similarities. And by the way, Simon Street, I'm going to have you start off with the very first question. But let's read just a couple of lines. He says, WWE has come a long way in terms of representation, but they still have a lot of work to do when it comes to presenting Black wrestlers. Okay. He speaks that WWE must present more options than the cookie cutter Black babyface that they continuously deliver. And then he mentions, he said, think about all of them and try to count how many of them aren't constantly smiling and dancing or jocular. It's hard, right? Of course, he threw out some names, R-Truth, The New Day, specifically talked a little bit about Kofi, Cedric Alexander.
Cedric the Entertainer.
I was about to say that. Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, Apollo Crews, Mark Henry. He just named a few of those in there. I mean, I know we've kind of had our talks amongst ourselves here when we're watching pay-per-views and different things. Simon Street, what do you think about what he's saying here. This is, like I say, something we've talked about a lot, but do you still believe that this is the case in today's time with the black wrestlers that are in WWE, or I should say the black male wrestlers?
I think for the most part, I mean, there's many different ways to kind of look at that. I remember Mark Henry was asked this question before. I can't remember on what radio talk show it was, but he had said that kind of when you look at the exposure of wrestling in black communities, it's continuously starting to grow. Mm-hmm. And so is where you once had, you know, let's say a handful of token black superstars in different promotions. You didn't see a lot of exposure in black neighborhoods. Thus for, you know, why you're starting to see now. I mean, if you look outside of WWE, you look at the indie scene. There's tons of black wrestlers. Mm-hmm. If you look at other promotions, there's tons of black wrestlers that are represented, and they're not in the cookie cutter fashion of, you know, song and dance and how you doing, you know, type of thing.
Right.
I feel that for WWE right now, they've come a long way. I think some of the first, I think you're going to start seeing in the next, probably for sure, 2 to 5, 6 years, you're going to start seeing more black athletes take a primary role that's not always going to be, you know, secondary titles or, you know, that cookie cutter of just smiling and dancing. I think you're going to see a different side. I think personally right now the WWE, and I've said this for years, because I think that when he was in Impact, our TNA days, it worked out much better. And that was Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. I feel that when Bobby Lashley talks less and starts beating the shit out of everybody, it's better for business. I think that he looks very intimidating, obviously. If y'all don't believe me, you go up to him and say, you a bitch. And I guarantee you, if you take his shirt off, you're going to think differently. So I think the same thing.
So why do you think, let me just stop right there, going with Bobby. So why do you think they want to allow him to be that? Why is he, you know, he's starting off all smiley coming back, and then they had to kill that, and you know, and now he has stolen the wife of Rusev, which of course is Russian.
You know, the bitterness of me mm-hmm. wants to say, I feel that the broader audience is still a little bit scared of an angry brother. Mm-hmm. And I think there's much to be said about anytime you have a big black man who's angry, whether it could be, you know, I give a perfect example. I remember a while back I was in a McDonald's and there was this big brother, and he was big, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, just strong. And he was at McDonald's eating inside the little restaurant, and I think he ran out of ketchup or something. And he was just like, man, this is ridiculous. And because his presence was pronounced already in the environment, and he's just big, he had a deep voice, he had a little bit of inflection in his voice, everybody took notice.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there was a couple of people, given an age category, that were probably a little bit afraid. So the bitter part of me wants to say that.
Yeah.
That, you know, the WWE is scared how the universe, per se, may perceive an angry black man. But then again, I start thinking to a little group that was formed a long time ago that comprised of Farouk, which comprised of The Rock, which comprised of Mark Henry. I mean, I could go on. I mean, you're talking about the Nation of Domination.
Sure.
You know, and when they formed their group, they're very much militant black, borderline Panther movement. But again, I wonder, is that something that worked in the confines of the Attitude Era? Do you see what I'm saying? Where right. anything goes. Is that a template that we can take, like I mentioned earlier, having, you know, not per se an angry black brother, but a brother that ain't smiling, juking, and jiving, you know, per se. It's just all business about kicking asses and getting the money he's deserved. I mean, I'll take a little reference and then I'll kill it. we have MVP who's come back. And MVP, you know, has a certain persona about him. He's not always jokes. He's about the business side of things, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, make deals and make his way where he can. Do you see what I'm saying? And sure. there was, you know, there's been many. You know, I don't expect everybody to be like the Junkyard Dog. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And be happy. You know, so I think we're getting into the next 5 years, and I'm going to just close it with this. If you look in the indie scene right now, up-and-coming indie talents, if you go to a lot of these schools, you're going to see a black presence. If you look at the demographics of people who watch wrestling, whether it's AEW, ROH, WWE, anything, you're starting to see black folks watch it more, male mm-hmm. and female. So again, we're going to be inspired as a people, and then we're then going to chase our dreams to get into that squared circle. And that's why I'm going to leave it at that.
You know, King Lucky, Cedric Alexander, Apollo Crews, these are great wrestlers. You know, R-Truth. They have the talent, as you know. They have the look. They, you know, I believe it's proven that they can hold a storyline. Why do you feel that they're sort of being held down from really just taking off? And I maybe should remove Truth out of that. I mean, Truth has kind of created his own, but still, even with Truth, there's this sort of, you know, it's got to be comedy related, you know. So again, we always kind of have to have this, you know, are we making everyone comfortable when we watch? What is your take on, you know, what are you seeing now with a lot of the black male talent? Do you see us moving, not through us in there, like, you know, we're wrestlers too, but moving forward in the wrestling business, or are we being held back in many ways because we're not freely being able to express different avenues that others get to?
Well, I certainly think you're starting to see a shift. Everyone knows the issues that have kind of been there, you know, over this last maybe 20 years or so. And that's why it was such a big deal for Kofi to, you know, reach up and grab the brass ring, because historically it hasn't been done right. You know, you look at Booker T, who's a perfect example of a very good talent. They let him hold the title, but it was always the secondary title. And Booker T, for all of his accolades, I mean, he's been a great heel and a face wrestler. But then you had the comment that, you know, Triple H made about, you know, something to the effect of put on a good show or whatever the case may be. And so now I think if you look at people like Ricochet, you know, he's based on his merits. He can talk. He's not really doing the song and dance stuff. I mean, so you are seeing diversity with the characters. You look at Street Profits. Street Profits are good in their faces. They can not only talk, but they can also wrestle. And so you're starting to see them featured more. And I only bring up primarily WWE because this is where it seems to exist. You look at other companies outside of WWE and there is more opportunities, you know, for, you know, black wrestlers specifically. And then if you look at, you know, going back to Super Showdown, this past Thursday, I was actually pleasantly surprised to see R-Truth getting a couple of wins or pins over guys that you wouldn't necessarily see him go over on. So I think we're definitely moving in the right direction in terms of this topic. And, you know, it's only going to get better.
Okay. You know, you did mention Street Profits and everything, and he actually mentioned the Street Profits in his article. And, you know, believe it or not, he kind of almost puts them in the same category with all the others. Again, they make you feel comfortable and make you feel good. You know, it's you know, the idea of making someone, I guess, uncomfortable is the problem. Is let me just ask you, King Lucky, is there a problem, I guess you could say, with black talent, I guess, making those who aren't black uncomfortable? Is there a problem with that?
I don't necessarily see that being the case, you know. I do kind of, when you talk about Lashley and his best momentum since he came back, I think a lot of people will point to the Lana and Rusev angle with him as probably the most entertaining. But to me, when he was just a smash mouth heel and he was taking people out, you know, to me, that was the better gimmick for him. So I don't necessarily think that there's a fear or what have you, but I just think that there has to be more. You know, there has to be a little bit more. And, you know, who knows? I mean, are these guys pitching ideas? You know, these are the kind of things that we don't have privy to, but it's important to know. Like, if you look at Apollo Crews, he gets pushed for a little bit, and then that gets shut down, you know. So it's just interesting to see or to know why that happens with him or maybe other guys. But, I mean, you look at somebody like a Leo Rush, you know. He had plenty of run, and he was a great talker. He was a great heel. But he also had skills to back it up. So,
Well, let me ask you this question, King Lucky, if I may. Name one time that there has been a, and don't name New Jack. I'm just going to put it out there right now. Don't name New Jack. You already know where I'm going to go with this. Name one, any promotion, right, where a black character, let's just put it that way, because that's what they book him as, would you have felt had gone too far in the uncomfortable zone? You can't name New Jack.
Definitely. I mean, we know he took it there.
Yes, he did.
That took it. I can't really think of one that took it there, you know.
And that was the answer that I was kind of looking for. Could it be a lack of coming together and realizing what's the different complexities of a personality for doing a story of if they wanted to run a story of someone that a superstar that happens to be pro-black and is black. Only reason why I say pro-black and is black, because we all know, you know, there was this guy back in the day who was very much white, but he was pro-black. We ain't talking about that. But we talking about, what if you were running, you know, the show, King Lucky? How would you book a quintessential black talent? You see what I'm saying? Opposite of what we've seen so far with the Juckin' and Jivin' and the happy times.
Well, I mean, if you look at Mark Henry for a while was, you know, a menacing heel with the Hall of Pain stuff. And, you know, so I could point to probably him, and I could point to Booker T at one point was a very good heel. So, you know, throughout the history, you know, that's a very small sample size. But, yeah, I would say those two probably did it the most. And then Viscera was another one.
That's a good point. Yeah, Viscera was really good. I mean, he even took it when he was part of the with the Acolyte. Was it the Acolytes? What was it? He was part of the Undertaker's crew. What did he call them?
Oh, the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah, the Ministry of Darkness, which I thought was interesting. I think maybe the way I feel about it, I'm sorry I'm chiming in late, because it just...
What about Ahmed Johnson? He was another one.
Well, I was just about to name him. Ahmed Johnson, to me, when I think of somebody who should have gotten the push and maybe the blueprint of somewhere outside of, let's put it, you know, the Juckin' and Jivin', what we get now, is him. because, I mean, he was mixing in there with some of the best. He stayed true to himself. He wasn't too over the top, but you knew this brother was going to kick your ass. And, I mean, I think for me, being a man of color, I want to see more of the other complexities of what the character of someone who's black. I know I don't always want to say, like, race is important in the ring. It's about who the superstar is and what they bring to the table. And, yes, they have a heritage that they bring with them, per se, right?
Well, what it comes down to is can we be mad sometimes? Can we be upset? Can we have a problem? Can we, let loose? Or do we have to just, come out?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We were gonna get that with an angle I hear that Big E Langston was supposed to do whenever Kofi had lost the title. From what I was hearing is Big E was supposed to go up in Vince McMahon's office and just literally just slam stuff on the desk and say, this is ridiculous. You know, we're not getting an opportunity, blah, 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 blah. You should let him get the title or go get the title, a rematch or something. That was an angle that they were supposed to run, but it never happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all heard the same thing, murmurings and whatnot. But, I mean, something like that, I feel, would have been great because it showed emotion. And we already see Big E as a character now. Like, he could go there. It's convincing. It's something that we can tie into and see where it goes. And if you want to bring a lot of race into it, you could. If you just want to make it just as a passionate superstar who we know one day is going to do big things and he's going for his boy Kofi because y'all had him Kofi Mania, but then Brock, the White Knight wrestler, came in and took him out in like 2.2. That I felt was disrespectful. I'll say it. Like I wasn't expecting him to last the whole time, but come on. Like, he got taken out in what, 2 seconds?
Yeah, and I think also in the article the guy wrote about that, he mentioned in that match, he said the fact that he just accepted it was infuriating. Which was kind of true. Like, yeah, he just lost, and then that was just kind of like, okay, accept it. Now that's it. You know, no upset, no. You know, all right, Matt. We're gonna go ahead and give you a say, man. I was gonna kick you. I was gonna kick you out of it, man, and let you go to the next topic. But I'm gonna let you in. Nah, I'm just messing with you. What's your take on all this? You hear what we're saying, from a perspective of a white male, do you hear what we're saying, or are we just way off this topic and what the writer was saying overall?
All right. Well, to be fair, anything I say here will probably get me in trouble anyway.
This is your time to keep it really clean and smiley and do a little dance for us, and then we'll move on.
That's exactly what we want you to do. Do your job.
Yeah.
Make the crowd excited and dance.
Right.
I am not angry at all. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So what's interesting on this is we got a couple different facets, because you start off with thinking about some of the names you've been talking about, and Lashley and Ahmed Johnson kind of come to the forefront of some of those names, because I don't care if they were purple, they have little to no fucking skills on the mic at all. So they're limited charisma and personality wise.
Mm-hmm.
So even playing the angry out, listen, they turned Ahmed heel and he didn't even last more than I think it was a week in the Nation because he got himself hurt. So we never saw what he could bring to the table as a heel, really. And it's the same thing with Lashley. Is, yeah, he was good, but he wasn't transcending, right? So the idea is to find someone who's a transcending heel who has African-American heritage. The Rock was someone who was that guy, but he got so fucking popular, and that was not really expected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. The thing is, like, you can try it, and you should try it, but it has to be people who could pull off a heel character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the thing.
Did you not think that Lashley pulled that off in TNA though?
Nah, I just, you know what? But I'm biased. I've never been a Lashley fan.
Okay.
I think gotcha. He was the WWE's answer. Vince saw a Black Goldberg. You know? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what he came because he put him in the black trunks and you know, and they made him do that. And it was just like
you know, I never thought about that, but that's some funny shit. Yeah.
Seriously, that was always my impression because they didn't let him talk. You know, it was literally just, you know, when he first came in, he was a face who was doing all the you know, trying to be Goldberg, but he was coming off as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at Kofi. Kofi, you can't turn him heel. I think the analogy of, you know, of them saying in that article that mm-hmm. Something was said about him being compared to like Ricky Steamboat,
yes.
That type of character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great analogy because essentially he is the Ricky Steamboat. Like, you can't turn him heel now. You could. I think Xavier would be great turning him heel because you could do so many things with him because he's so intelligent. That he could pull off, you know, an angle of kind of like, why did Kofi get all these opportunities when I'm better than him? Listen, I have this, you know, this PhD and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm such an educated man. And, you know, and then that just kind of would be a great heel character because then you can play with it. You have a character. That's the one thing I think the article is missing is that there wasn't any mention of, it was just, you know, raw emotions. But what are the stakes? Why is that person a character?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the biggest thing is you have to have some kind of character. And when you think of like R-Truth, why is R-Truth entertaining? It's because he's, you know, built this character.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Now, you know, could you believe R-Truth as something else? Yeah, but it's been tried and he's not as good. So I think you also have to think of playing to your strengths. And that's one of the reasons that you put Lana with Lashley right now is because his strength isn't talking. And when he was with Leo, Leo brought the personality and all Bobby had to do was kick ass.
Yeah, it's true. What would you say, Matt, if you made your heel that you talked about? Because you made a very good point. What if you took, like, you know, I honestly think the person you're speaking of is the Velveteen Dream. I think that eventually, if he does and when he does get to, you know, back or gets back and running, which he is now in NXT, but he gets to the main roster. Let's just say they're smart and they make him a heel. Same capacity is now, but just make him a heel. Do you think that would be something that would work?
The problem is
it's because he's too over.
He's too over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Patrick as a performer. Like, if he wasn't doing this character and you gave him, like, you know, maybe the angry black kid who didn't get the breaks, you know, and is upset and, you know, holds society against, you know, in doing this against him. He could have pulled that off because he's fucking talented. He's like a good actor. I think you have to be a good actor as well because, you know, you don't want to just go out there and be angry. You want to have something driving you, some sort of character. And this is with anything. I mean, you could be, you know, look at some of the guys who really don't pull off these characters at all that they're given. But then you look at a guy like Heath Slater, who everything they've given him, even though it's all been shitty, he made it something.
That's true. That's really true.
So, I mean, that's a factor too. It's, you know, it would be great if you could find the equivalent in a black man to Austin.
Now, you know what? I agree with you on that one. I think that would be scary enough for someone to think about that one for a second. But cool enough, because I think that it's something that resonates with a lot of black males. So I think that would be a little dicey, or maybe I'm just thinking too much. But you know what I would? I'd take your black Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I would love to see right now, if it were possible, can we get someone be like the second coming of Kamala to go up against the Fiend? I mean, like, that would be some cool ass shit. Is anybody else feeling that? I mean, I would love to see that.
So in a discussion about black history and the accomplishments and how, you know, they should give you an opportunity, you want a Kamala.
I'm just saying, I mean, if I were to go in, I want to see another incarnation of Abdullah the Butcher or Kamala. I just want to see just go at the Fiend. That shit would be cool as shit. I mean, outside of what we're talking about, I'm just being real. That would be some cool shit. Because we ain't seen nobody like that but the Boogeyman. But the Boogeyman was just the Boogeyman. Like, he really didn't do much. You know, I mean, nothing against him, because he's very talented in the ring. But, I mean, you know, I would like to see something like that. Again, I think the whole point was, you said the plight, right? The article is the plight of the black superstar.
Yeah.
So when I think of the plight of anybody,
you just made him a jungle man from Africa. That's awful, dude.
Well, I was only saying that to say that, you know, there's many different parts that can be played. And yes, you're right, Michaels, that a lot of these guys who we did mention probably weren't the greatest on the mic, which could definitely hinder them in a heel capacity, because everybody knows a heel is not just someone that's doing nonverbal communication to the universe as far as WWE is concerned. You got to be able to talk on the mic, get under people's skin, and come up with divisive ways to just piss everybody the fuck off. So that way you can have
Street.
Your night armor. Yeah, what's up?
The office has just called me. WWE is bringing back Papa Shango just for you.
I love it.
Hey guys, well look, we could probably continue to talk about that all night long, and we'll bring it up again, but we got to get to our second count of the story of our
King was getting bored.
What'd you say?
I said King Lucky was getting bored.
Yeah, he probably sleep over.
No,
there,
but, not at all.
it's great well, conversation.
Your Majesty is here.
Well, our second story comes from the InduxJournal.com, and he titled it, Should the Media Report on Pro Wrestling? And, you know, pretty much what it comes, and I'll read a little bit out of his article. Still, the fact that pro wrestling is scripted makes for a difficult decision for media outlets, including this newspaper, about whether to report event results, and if so, where those results should appear. The problem is that wrestling really doesn't fit in sports, because other sports we report on are unscripted. They also wouldn't find a home in entertainment news, because that's generally reserved for film, music, and theater. So guys, what it comes down to is, do you think that pro wrestling should have some sort of a article or section or somewhere within the sports section that maybe runs down the pay-per-views, wins and losses, maybe talk about something? I know usually when Mania comes into town, because the event's so big, that might make I actually own a few newspapers where it was actually on the front cover. But I mean, outside of Mania, should there be a section that's just kind of dedicated to kind of running down some of the matches, mainly probably pay-per-views, because, you know, you can be all day with all the wrestling events that they have right now. I'm going to let you go with this one, King Lucky. You think the media should report on pro wrestling? And by the way, if so, where in a newspaper, for instance, should it be at? In sports, or would you throw it in entertainment? or not at all?
Well, so here's the thing. If they had credible reporters like NWA's Joe Galli with knowledge of the business, I would welcome it 100%, because he really understands how to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling is becoming more and more popular and more mainstream, so it definitely helps promote the business.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't have anybody cover it. You'd have to have somebody with direct knowledge and how to sell it to the public without really killing the business, if you will, as some people would call it. But it couldn't definitely be in sports. It would have to be in entertainment if you were to have it in a newspaper. But
right next to the, hey, the new movie coming out is this big movie, the Fast and Furious 10. Go to the theaters to see this. And there's a big Broadway play that's going to be right down your street here at New York. Go check out this new play. And by the way, wrestling entertainment. You can see that?
I can see it.
Okay.
But again, only if it's somebody that would help protect the business and cover it properly with the proper knowledge of the business. That's I'd be for it if that were the case. If not, don't do it at all.
Simon Street, I don't know how often you either, I know most people don't read newspapers, but we definitely still go to the internet to get our news, maybe CNN or the New York Times. Would you see this being an issue that if you went into the sports part of these sites to see anything that had wrestling talk on there on a daily, because papers are released daily, usually the sites sometimes usually post what's also in the paper. So this would be daily that you would have these types of articles. Could you see that happening? Would that be something that would benefit people who read these, their subscribers? Would you care to see any of that? Or really, there's just no room for it in sports or entertainment on none of these platforms?
I definitely think that there is a place for it, but just as much as what King Lucky said, it does have to be done the right way. It does have to be with either an organization or an individual or whatever, whoever the team's going to be that's presenting it, needs to have some knowledge of the business. It just can't be, I'll give a prime example, and I'm not trying to put him out there because I like him as a sportscaster. If you remember not too long ago, King Lucky probably knows, you had Stephen A. Smith that, it was very much noticeable how much he may have known on a basic level about UFC, but he really stuck out like a sore thumb with regards to broadcasting it. And, he definitely got called on it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we definitely don't want that.
That's the perfect example.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he knew about it basically, but he didn't know enough about the sport per se.
Yeah.
And, to where it conveyed to where it was natural. It was something that, went and flow with, with everything that's UFC. And so it stuck out, my point.
Yeah.
The second thing I will tell you is what's really preventing something like that from happening, whether it be in a newspaper or if it be internet, is finding a way for one company that can give the news, updates, whatever it may be, of WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, New Japan Pro, DDT, all of these different facets, AEW, and report it to where it's not stepping on the toes of anybody, and it's something to where any person of those promotions I just named, and plus many more,
mm-hmm.
there's something for them.
Yeah.
I don't think with the legality that can happen, particularly probably more with WWE, to be honest with you, that would be something entertaining. Imagine if, let's just say, you paid $4.99, okay? And there's something you can get on all your devices and whatnot. And what it is exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You have a dedicated wrestling talk with people who are interested in wrestling in a way that people can get either get caught up on the shows they either missed, or they can get inside track on the development of people on their injuries and where they're at, or people come into the game, or prospects in the indies, anything that you want, but it spans all of the different promotions. To me, that would be something that you could sink your money into, big investors would put money into, and if you're able to put it, and the big thing that's going to seal it is putting it on a television station that's going to do it justice.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like Fox doing the XFL justice.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You gotta put it on somewhere that's going to do it. My thing is...
Yeah, this whole thing was about newspapers.
Well, I know it's newspapers, but let's be honest. Unless you're going to be in a nursing home reading newspapers, or at Daryl's house using the restroom, read the newspaper, look at the percentage. There's not that many people reading newspapers still.
So there you go. There's your answer. This is the longest rant on nothing that I've ever heard.
Pretty simple. Oh.
There's no fucking... No. It's not a shot at you. It's just that this topic is so ridiculous. First thing, everyone listening, this is the Index Journal from Greenwood, South Carolina. This was written by Mr. Greg Deal. Now, I do not know Greg Deal. This is the first time I'm ever reading or hearing about him. But his picture on this page...
It does look like a mugshot, right?
It looks like a mugshot. That's what I thought. Like, when you first posted it on the chat, so that, you know, it had a picture there, and then it just had the website that you click on. Well, I'm thinking, oh, shit, does this have something to do with, like, a wrestler who got busted for possession or something, you know?
Right, yeah.
It does look like that.
Yeah, it's the actual fucking author. It's horrendous.
So real quick, I was gonna say, the DJ Impact.
Yeah,
for our listeners, I think tomorrow you should post this on social media, or when we talk about this episode, just picture this. Because Michaels, you are dead on, dude. This is like somebody that got caught, you know, texting an underage youth or some shit. No offense to this guy, but it does not look good.
Oh, boy.
No, it's so weird. And then later on, he goes on to say he's talking about the way Vince had told Ted Turner that their entertainment,
right,
wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, the WWF changed its name nearly a decade ago. Well, it then says in 2001, WWF became World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, that's funny. That's about two decades. Yeah,
so that's two decades ago.
Yeah.
Then we get to his point here, which is what's more complicated for the media, though, is that a large and faithful following of sports entertainment, followers of sports entertainment, no doubt, would like to see match results published in newspapers, especially results of the many pay-per-views each year at nearly $60 a pop. A lot of fans can't afford buying these programs, but still want to know the results.
Right, right.
And it says they won't find them in any newspaper, not in the 21st century. No shit, it's online, motherfucker. What the fuck are you talking about? Who fucking puts shit in newspapers so that they... I mean, who's running to their paper to see the pay-per-view results? Number two, spend the $9.99 a month and you get all the WWE pay-per-views, which is majority of the motherfucking things. And by the way, anyone listening, if you do want to share your opinions, he does say email or tweet me and let me know what you think. So please, you can go on Twitter at @ICDECAPITAL. IJDEAL. @IJDEAL. Go online and express to him your opinions of how ridiculous this fucking whole article is.
We're definitely going to post something about this article on our social media, so people can send him an email or so and let them know how they feel about it, you know.
But you know yes. what's even funnier? As we throw in shade at Mr. Dill, if you go back and we live to listen to this, Impact, you sure was on the same page as Mr. Dill about them newspapers, though. Well, explain yourself.
What are you talking about?
Do you still read newspapers regularly and often? Do you go into McDonald's and get your little cup of coffee and your little egg sausage McMuffin and you also get the newspaper? Are you upset when they don't have your edition of the newspaper?
I that's not me.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, man, because you were so excited. Like it was a normal thing to have a newspaper.
Hey, man, we just discussing topics and we'll get to our next one, which I know everyone has an opinion about. And it comes... Hey, can you put your hand over your mouth, man? Anybody got some Lysol?
I ran out of N95 masks.
Oh, man. It's reported everywhere, but this article I got comes from Forbes.com. And, of course, it's all about the coronavirus. And they speak on the idea of how, I guess, out in Japan, New Japan has canceled all of their shows up to March 14th. There's been several other wrestling events out in Japan that's all been canceled as well. So, of course, being that the biggest show in the world is about a month away, they had to talk to one of the McMahons or Hunter and see what their thoughts were on this. And, of course, Stephanie gave her comments, which she said, the health and safety of not only our fan base, but also our superstar really does come first. We don't want to put anyone in a bad situation ever, regardless of the circumstance, and those are not risk worth taking. Now, of course, when this article was written, it had not yet been known that a day later, two people out in Tampa actually have the two cases of the coronavirus out in Tampa. So now it's, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? Is the show going to go on? You know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was one king that literally wrote on his social media that, you know, the king don't think he even, not sure if he wants to go, you know, because, you know, there's two cases that's in Tampa. I don't want to catch that. You know, somebody else I know, you know, they're saying they didn't want to go and they're in the state that have 16 cases. But apparently those two cases is really want to hold them back. Let me just start off with the king because we do have a king with us. King Lucky, tell us, what's your whole take on what's happening just not only around the world, but what effects do you think, if any, it will have on WrestleMania in 4 weeks?
And keep in mind, King, yeah. Keep in mind that you do live in Las Vegas and you do visit these casinos on a very regular basis.
Yes.
So if anyone's getting exposed to this shit within the next months,
right.
It's you.
King, I got to defend you. Or it could be Michaels, who frequents the massage parlors quite regularly here in Las Vegas.
Just oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, let me have my bathhouses, man.
King Lucky, the floor is yours.
Well, yeah, I will say that, I mean, after you really think about it, you could be exposed to it anywhere. So, as the young kids say, YOLO, fuck it, I'm going to WrestleMania.
Let me ask, do any of you all think that Vince McMahon would cancel the biggest show? Let me take it a step further. Let's just say there were, you know, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but let's just say there's, I don't know, 5 deaths that's come out of Tampa by the time the show comes. Do you think that Vince McMahon will remove or cancel, stop that show from happening? Anyone?
Hell no.
You said deaths, though, right?
I did say deaths, yes.
See, and that might be the factor, because if
I don't know, man, Vince,
think about it. If it was just cases,
right,
then there's not a big worry.
True.
If there is a big amount of death, then it's being passed and they're not able to keep up with it. Then you want to quarantine the cities.
Well, basically. Yeah, big amounts. So, what let's say if there's
if no one, I mean, even if one or two people die, it's sure. not like they're going to cancel it over that.
Right. Okay.
It has to be that emergency type thing where, because listen, before I go to WrestleMania, I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to be there for like 6 fucking days. If anyone's getting exposed to the goddamn coronavirus, it's me. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
How
many seats are you away from me at the show?
Enough distance for me to sneeze all over you.
He's damn near on your lap, man. He's damn near on your lap.
I will literally be flicking boogers into your
pocket. Oh my god. No, but you're right. You're right. I mean, the Disneyland that's out in, where is it? In Tokyo, Singapore, wherever that. I mean, it's a ghost town. Yeah. They're not even open. It's crazy looking at the.
Well, it's actually closed for mandatory for 2 weeks. That in Paris. I think the other one's in Paris. Closed mandatory 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's true, though. That would be. Matt Michaels is more likely to, you know, and again, you know, hopefully.
And
go ahead.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Here's another thought that, you know, hits me, too. If, you know, when she said the health of their performers.
Right.
What's interesting is, let's say someone is feeling sick, but it's the flu-like symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of these guys work through the flu.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to be overcautious within the company if they're really, truly going to be protecting them. Anyone who says that they're feeling like they have a flu is going to have to get tested because they don't want to spread it in the locker room, which means that theoretically, let's say, you know, John Cena is coming out to face the Fiend, and one of them all of a sudden, you know, feels sick the night before, like flu-like symptoms and stuff. I mean, the guy's going to want to go out there. You know, he's going to want to wrestle. That's the nature. Is the company going to stand up and say, no, you can't do this because we don't want to infect the rest of our people?
Right. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing because you really never have to deal with that.
True. Also in the same article, and you tell me what you think of this, Simon Street, the lack of demand for live shows has forced WWE to run fewer house shows, much to the talent, I guess, being paid less, and who pay will go down as a result, and the possibility of more cancellations amid the continued spread of the coronavirus could deal a costly blow to a live event sector already accustomed to bad news. I mean, that alone would kind of tell you right there, the show must and will go on, according to Mr. McMahon. Would you agree?
I would better assume if hell became part of Earth, Vince McMahon would then maybe think about the conversation of shutting down WrestleMania. I mean, let's just be honest here, okay? When we talk about the coronavirus just in general, there's a let's put it this way: the panic is bigger than the actual fucking virus. You know, I'm just being completely honest with you. People are fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see them in the street. They're talking about, I need to get an N95 mask, you know, so that way I don't catch it. Like, listen, dumb motherfucker, the N95 mask is so that you don't get nobody sick. It ain't the other way around. You still got orifices that are that are not clogged. Your ears, your nose, your eyes, dumbass. So, you know, that's one thing. Another thing, too, is, the symptoms of the actual coronavirus.
Did you say da-ass? Dumb ears, ass. The nose, and the ass.
No, not the ass. The ass is the other. Is a whole nother orifice. Now, I'm not gonna go into all that. How you can get the coronavirus. All I can tell you is, if it ever get that bad with the coronavirus to where you gotta flush and run, then that's just what the fuck you got to do. But outside of that, the symptoms of the coronavirus is real simple. You know, the symptoms are if you have a fever, a cough, and shortness of breath. Those are the main things when they've done the case studies of the coronavirus. If you have that, there are test kits that are specifically now being worked on to make sure that the sensitivity can actually capture if somebody is a positive, because there have been some cases where they've shown up negative when they were actually positive and they were causing spreads. Now, getting to what is he saying? Every time he's talking, I can't hear nothing.
I have no idea.
You just made that sound really super sexy, man.
Did I really? Thank you. But what I was going to say, when it comes to events such as concerts, WrestleMania and stuff like that, there is a concern on you know, having massive people come together. As you can, as you already well know, the closer you are in a confined space, the more germs can be passed around. But with regards to the deaths, because I think someone said deaths, we need to look at currently right now. There's a good website that I go to that's factual. It's called World Oxygen. No, fuck that. It's actually worldometer.info. And what it is it tracks the coronavirus. So right now, currently, if you go to this website, it shows you coronavirus cases, 90,932. It can break them down in a country if you want. Death toll is 3,119. Now, check this out. This is a big number coming up. Recovered, 48,174. So if you look at the data, you know, yes, although the 3,119 deaths, there's a lot of that came from Kung Lung, my bad, Wulan, whatever it's called. They came from there. So when it came from there, yeah, thank you. When it came from there, a lot of the deaths came from there. If you look at some of the other places, you also have to look at, you know, some of these people. Like, if you break down the percentage on mild case versus serious and critical, 82% of the 39,000 cases are mild conditions and they recovered. Only 18% were people were critical, and even less than that percent are the people that died. So again, WrestleMania is not going to be canceled. Y'all going to go down there and have a good fucking time.
Thank you.
Lucky's probably going to have way too much of a good fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And he might catch something else other than the coronavirus.
Oh, boy.
He might catch some other kind of disease. But he has a likelihood of catching that versus the coronavirus. And if you do catch it, it's not the end of the world. Just take your little dumb asses to the hospital, get you a test. If you're positive, you know, just hopefully you have a job that has FMLA, because you might be in the hospital for up to a week.
Mm. Okay.
That's it.
Well, there you go. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate that.
I'm not a doctor. I'm just a light-skinned Negro that can read.
Oh.
That's all.
All right, y'all. Well, look, that does complete our 3 count. Just a reminder, show brought to you by our live show at Boulder Station Casino and Hotel, Wednesday, March 11th, where we have our special guest, ROH World Champion, PCO. Start time 6 p.m., 21 and overs, please. It's a free event. Come out, hang out with your boys, and we're going to have a great time. Wrestling. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to tell them. Did you tell them that we're going to have a drawing at the live show?
That's right. We are going. Well, you know what?
Huh?
Speak on it a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to have a drawing where we give out 25 caseloads of N95 masks.
Oh shit! or tickets to ROH pay per view or televised show. So you have an option. But yes, there will be a prize that is given out. I think we actually are running one that's right now online. So you just have to read up on the details, and you could win tickets to ROH. So definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. So, on to wrestling talk. Lots of wrestling happened over the weekend. If we go in order, I guess you would have the showdown that happened, Super Showdown that happened first. So I guess could talk a little bit about that. I didn't get a chance, as I wouldn't watch it, but I, you know, I read up on what happened, and I guess the biggest news is, oh man, The Fiend, no more champion. King Lucky, what's your take on this?
I told you, Marks, last week on the show, that it was leaning towards this, and it happened.
Wait, how the fuck do you call us Marks when you're the one quoting Mark shit to us? We're the ones who just fans having a good time, you know, thinking, oh, The Fiend's going to win. That's cool. You are like,
and I wasn't there either, so.
Jesus.
That's all right. You were the one that made a very bold statement that Goldberg wouldn't win in Saudi Arabia. And he won.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't speak up and be like, no, Goldberg was going to win this match. This is where they're going with it. You didn't come up with any of that shit. You're trying to take credit for nothing.
Take credit for the result, but I am telling you that that is what happened. And yes, now they are shifting gears to Goldberg, as you saw it on SmackDown, Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. And for some people, it's a dream match. Others, not so much. Goldberg got booed on SmackDown, but, you know, is it the right thing to do? Some people think so. Chris Jericho, Bubba, you know, said that they endorsed the business that was done there. And, you know, most fans would have preferred to see The Fiend retain. So, I don't know. Lots of moving parts as we head on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but going, so, I knew you was going to jump over to another show. But going back to Super Showdown.
I'm not jumping over to another show. Whatever. I'm out of here.
No, look, but overall, the show itself, what was your take? Was it a really good show? Was it just the glorified house show like it is? Was
compared,
it really? Yeah.
Compared to the other shows,
okay,
this was much better than the other shows that were glorified house shows. You got real results. You had
fuck this. He's gonna kiss the ass of this thing just because they had Boom Boom Fireworks, man.
But yeah, Miz and Morrison win the tag titles at the event. You also set up, like I mentioned earlier, you had R-Truth, which was pretty interesting. Him pinning, you know, a couple of different people that you would have not necessarily seen, you know, him go over on. But then you had AJ Styles versus Taker then set up for WrestleMania. So there were a lot of big moments on this show in comparison to, you know, the other shows that they've had. So I thought they did a good, you know, bit of business that night.
Simon Street, was there anything that stood out on that show for you that you enjoyed or something you didn't enjoy?
Yeah, I think it was a decent show.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that so far a lot of the Saudi Arabia shows have been a disappointment per se.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this one did fairly well. I like how they use the show now to kind of set up stuff, which I don't think they did before as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that overall, and this goes more towards you, DJ Impact.
Yes.
I've had some time to think about why a lot of people don't like supporting the Saudi Arabia show. Mm-hmm. But I think that the bigger picture is by exposing our democracy and the fruits of our democracy, we can then bring a brighter future to some of the more countries that don't like our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just kind of putting it out there because having these shows, it might just be entertainment. And all these people are like, ah, you know, this is fun. Real talk. We saw the first ever women's title be defended which was pretty huge. I don't know if anybody y'all noticed, but I think that's inspiring a lot of women in that region. Now, we don't know how much they're really letting women do things, or they just kind of smokescreen our asses. But us being there is huge importance. So I agree with Jericho and the rest of them guys. I think that the business that they did was good out there. I think they have, what, one more show? Is it one more show out there or two more on their contract with them? Is it one more?
I think they have a couple more.
Like a seven-year contract.
Was it seven years? Okay, I thought it was shows. Okay, so they got a while in that bitch. So basically, with every show, you've seen that they've gained more ground. And I would challenge you at some point, Impact, to maybe watch some of the past shows, because you wouldn't be technically supporting it. You'd just be reviewing it. And you can kind of see from start to finish, they're gaining more ground. And I suffice to say, I'd like to see it in the next 2K game. I'd like to see the Super
Jesus.
I'd like to see it. I would like to see it because I want the goddamn mountain trophy. I thought it was some cool ass shit. The shit looked like a big ass kryptonite, like an off green kryptonite and shit. But yeah, good show. Okay. I like that the Undertaker came out, didn't really wrestle, and it sets up for him and AJ WrestleMania. I don't know if that's been confirmed. Has that been confirmed yet, King Luck? Because I know you work for the company.
I'll just say keep watching.
Okay, I appreciate that, man. Every time you give me them notes, I feel like I got an inside track.
All right. And Matt, you have anything you want to add to the showdown? Or
no, because we're going to end up making this podcast a Super Showdown length podcast.
All right, cool.
I will say one thing.
Sure.
All I have to say is Bayley and Naomi look so god darn good. I don't know how they can suffice to say that them being fully clothed, them bodysuits really was revealing without being.
See, I said it was going to be a 3-hour show, and that's why I passed it to move on. And then you have to go on to a rant about the cat suits that Bayley fucking.
Did
Naomi
you see
wore.
Bayley and Naomi in that cat suit? Maybe you don't understand what was all up in it, but I saw it and I was like, woo. I watched that match over again.
Well, on SmackDown, I guess the biggest thing, you had Goldberg come out. You had another contract signing with Shinsuke and Braun and Cesaro, Sami Zayn. What is that going to be, a 3-on-1? All right. Should be interesting. And then, of course, you had the return of John Cena for SmackDown.
I didn't see him.
Well, I tell you one thing. John Cena, and absolutely, I do get the fact that they were in Boston, but you know, I didn't think he was going to get that much love. They really act like they really missed him. Where you been? You know, we'll see how long that love.
It's his fucking hometown. What'd you expect?
No, I get that. You know, but still. You know, Cena's been booed in his hometown before. You know, although I didn't expect that to happen this time. I didn't think the pop was going to be that big. But I guess when you've been gone for a minute, it should. Anybody got anything about SmackDown that you want to throw out there at all before we move to Revolution?
It was a good show. It was a really good show. I found it entertaining.
Okay, good stuff. AEW Revolution, man. I gotta say, I mean, overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. I mean, there are some things that, you know, I just kind of go, all right, whatever, you know. But still, overall, I thought they did a pretty good, job with the show. I mean, King Lucky, I'm gonna let you take off on this one. What was your take on the Revolution pay-per-view?
Overall, very good stuff. I'll start at the top with Moxley winning the belt. I thought it was the right decision to make. Jericho has done a fine job of carrying the company into where we are now, and Moxley was hot. I mean, you know, they did a lot of stuff to get this angle in this feud to where it should be, you know, even though he had to look like a pirate. But I thought, you know, overall, they did good TV to get to where they were, and fans got the finish that they were really looking for. Elsewhere, I thought the match with Cody and MJF was very solid.
You think?
Lots of good work.
I thought it was okay. I don't know.
What about that tattoo though?
Oh, the tattoo is
pretty dope. I definitely am not sold on the tattoo, Cody. Could have had that thing smaller or put it on your shoulder cap.
So do you think he needs to fire and remove that tattoo like Chuck D did Flavor Flav?
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought the result was right. I thought MJF should have went over. Cody's already so over. So the right business was to do was to put MJF over.
So is Cody just is this job is just to continue to just lose to everybody because he's over? So just anybody he has a match with, he should just lose to them.
No, but I think they're building, you know, the talent, and we talked about it early on. They're building new stars, and so there'll come a point where Cody will be, you know, in the limelight, and he'll get the title and things like that. But I think it's important for them to build new stars at this moment, and that's what they're doing. You look at the Young Bucks; they also haven't won a title, and that match was a show stealer. I mean, it was a barn burner, right?
Look, it was a great match, but I thought it was too
it was
long.
Flippy. Yeah, it was flippy.
It was just too long. I was like, Jesus, end it.
There was a lot of false finishes, but overall, I thought the match was good. The one takeaway that I had with the match that I didn't like per se was the ending. You know, it looked like at one point the Bucks, first of all, the Bucks kind of worked heel in that match, but it looked like at one point Kenny and the Bucks were going to turn on Hangman, and then it looked like Hangman was going to turn on Kenny, and I was just like, okay, they haven't done anything, and it was over. So that was my only critique of that.
Yeah, you happen to hate the one thing that leads into the whole next phase of the feud. You want it to pay off before you got. You want it to come before you even got a hand job.
Just wants to blow his load, Michaels. He just wants to blow his load.
Yep.
I will say the other part of the night that I was a little bit let down by was at the buy-in. You had SCU versus the Dark Order, and the Dark Order to me was, you know, they were taking off, you know, and they keep talking about the Exalted One, and I felt like they had an opportunity to turn a corner, and they didn't, and I'm just kind of like, meh, on the whole angle now.
That's because they're going to wait. Yeah, like I said, they're going to wait until January 21st, 2021, and when they pull off the, you know, the reveal, it's Donald Trump.
I thought you were going
to
say
that makes sense. Sense to me.
Now March, when Matt Hardy is now a free agent.
Okay, yeah, enough of this Matt Hardy stuff.
Hey, sorry, let me ask you, Simon Street, should they just should AEW should just at just At this time and moment, just get rid of the women's wrestling matches. There's, like, just take some time to rewrite it, rethink what they want to do, and just kind of because I'm not sold on any matches that I ever see that comes from the women, and not even this past one that just came. I didn't care for it.
Well, I think there's some merit to what you're saying. However, I think the execution's a bit off. I don't think that they should just be done with it. Mm-hmm. I think that they're still trying to grow their women's division. They're still trying to find their identity, mm-hmm. the AEW women's identity. I think right now, you know, Nyla Rose is doing what she's paid to do, you know, be an ass kicker, be dominant, and move forward in that way. I feel gives the company an opportunity to do exactly what you're saying, to re-strategize and figure out, you know, what are they going to do? So I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. I still find them entertaining. Do I think they could do more and flesh out? Yeah, but you got to realize the whole purpose of AEW right now is to boost up new talent. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although Michaels is going to say it's very flippy, I enjoyed the match with Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara. I enjoyed that match.
Actually, I liked that match. I actually enjoyed that match. I will say that was a good match, yeah.
But let's think about that, okay? If it wasn't for AEW, would these two have got the shine in a match with those two versus each other like that? No. Probably in the indies for sure. Do you see what I'm saying?
You know, so, I'll go as far as to say that if WWE was ever to acquire anyone from AEW, I think it should be Sammy Guevara. I think he's that good and that entertaining.
Yeah, he's definitely that good. But again, AEW is they're trying to get, I'm gonna call it, get the sauce. They're putting the final touches on their sauce. And when AEW drips, everybody gonna recognize. WWE is already recognizing. And yeah. I know we got the Wednesday Night Wars and all that stuff, but real talk, I felt like this pay-per-view, AEW pay-per-view, was, I feel, a lot better than the last two. And that's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. All right. I feel like this was a better booking. Yeah, there was a couple flaws, but if you look at most of the websites, I know the one that I was looking at was just the Bleacher Report.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the grades they gave everybody, even the lowest was the buy in C+.
Wait. You found that information on Bleacher Report?
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while.
Well, then why the fuck does anyone need a newspaper?
Well, I know.
God damn it.
Okay, I got you. You're right. But I'm just saying, like, I'm proving my point. If you go down the match, you're talking about Rhodes, Hager, you know, B+, which I feel like that's a pretty adequate score. Maybe C+ on my end. Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, that's an A+ match. You know what I mean? They put it as an A. Then you got the AEW tag team Young Bucks versus Omega and Hangman. I mean, that was an A+. I mean,
just too long, but it was a good match.
I get it, but I'm just saying, at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. So whatever they did, I hope they took notes,
yeah,
which I'm sure they are. And they're still making gains. And that's what I like about AEW.
Hey, last question about Revolution. What's your guys' take on the Cassidy match with Pac? Were you guys...
I thought it was a good contrast of styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was entertaining.
Second best match.
I had a buddy. My buddy hates Orange Cassidy. He doesn't fucking get it. And he's the most over thing on the show.
Yeah,
so.
Without question, I think he had the loudest pop of the night out of all talent.
I agree.
But let me ask you this: Can he do those exact same things in every pay per view, and it doesn't get old? Or are people going to still do the same pop for every
pay-per-view? The thing is, you don't have them wrestle that much.
Well, yeah, and that's why I just said pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even that, why, you know, you only have to use them once in a blue moon. Very simple, you know?
Yeah.
Which they're probably going to fuck up. So, I mean, most logical sense is, like, if we could make more money off this guy, we're going to make more money. So we're going to, you know, have to do things to make him more, presentable. So put him in more matches and stuff, which that will be the downside of the character.
You know, AEW.
I disagree.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to disagree with you a little bit, Michaels, because the cool thing about Orange Cassidy that's different from a lot of other things we may have seen before is he can variate between, you know, two different styles. I'm going to call it the Orange Cassidy nonchalant with the hands in his pocket, but then he could just go ahead and fuck with that and hit it on a high octane and whoop some ass. So at the end of the day, it really all depends on how is he going to variate between both of those gears. You know, so you could run him as many times as you want. You see what I'm saying? And he could probably start off doing that kind of like the slap in the face, like, ha ha, you ain't shit. And then just like Pac shit. That's why I like that match, because Pac did exactly what every other person would probably want to do towards Orange Cassidy, who's never seen him in the independent scene.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, AEW Dynamite's going to be in Vegas, I guess, the week after the pay-per-view. And I'm gonna attend that show. I won't be in town for the pay-per-view. But I've decided that I'm going to download and print out the Jericho song, because apparently I need to know it. And if I feel like if I don't know it and do sing-along karaoke in the arena, I might get kicked out. So I'm just saying, I'm going to learn the song. I'm going to be ready. And when it comes here, y'all going to see me just like, man, dude, I'm just really into it because I learned it all. So with that, that is Revolution. I guess the last one, I'll give it to you, King. You said, what was it, Ring of Honor or what?
Ring of Honor.
Okay, talk about it.
They set up a very interesting angle. You know, the partnership continues to go to work there with them and NWA. So mm-hmm. Rouge over the weekend captured the ROH title in a three-way match with PCO, and it was after Nick Aldis showed up and hit PCO with the title, and now setting up a matchup. So your new champion, you know, to go along with all the other titles that changed hands.
Yeah.
Roosh is now the Ring of Honor champion.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's big, though. They're building up Roosh, and Roosh is really good. I enjoy watching him perform. Man, all right.
Without question, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't we see him win the title here in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cricket.
It was outstanding when he won here.
It makes sense for him to win here.
Wasn't that a while back, though? Wasn't that a while back?
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So
it didn't last.
It didn't last.
He was barely champ.
Yeah.
So did you think it'll last longer this time, or what was the difference between the two titles? Title reigns, I guess you could say.
You got to remember, too, they had different. So now Marty is, you know, head of creative. So mm-hmm. you got to figure that they've got to make some better choices. And you take a guy like Roosh and you let him have a lengthy title run. If you don't, I mean, you know, what's to stop him from when his contract comes up to exploring other options?
So how do you pursue a lengthy title run? Because I feel like a lengthy title run is only as good as the competitors you put in front of the person with the title.
Yeah, I mean, and you. Here's a couple of things. You got talent in Ring of Honor, and you also have the relationship now with NWA, where you can float different talent back and forth, so you can make it exciting.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to be working for him. So, you know, true to form, I have yet to watch a full, shamefully, ROH show. Front to back, I always catch it in pieces and chopped up. But I think
that proves you don't listen. You don't watch it.
Well,
it proves you don't watch it because
I'm not going to not admit that I don't.
The whole episode is just episodes or matches chopped up throughout the episode. So anytime you watch it, you're just going to catch bits and pieces because that's all they show now.
Okay, so technically I have been watching the show. I just haven't been watching exactly. it entirely. Yeah, because I get what's left over either on YouTube or on the websites that I go on, so I watch it that way. But you're saying that the way the show is presented now is like that.
Yeah.
Because I'll admit, I don't care if it's sloppy seconds. It's all good. Shit.
but you know when you will be able to watch it? Mm-hmm. If you come here this month. And you can see them live.
I tell you what, I'm going to rub two pennies together and make a wish so I can make sure I'm there.
Boom. That's going to be Friday, March 13th with the 18th anniversary show, and then Saturday with the TV tapings on March 14th.
Well, I will put it on my calendar, and I will make it a point to be there so I can get reeducated on everything that is Ring of Honor.
Boom.
you know, King Lucky, why did you continue to let me announce PCO as the world champion if he wasn't?
Oh, you guys say I give away too many spoilers, so I had to wait until the end.
All right.
That was a good one.
All right, guys. Well, look, we'll go ahead and start ending the show. I'm going to let you guys say your final words. I guess there is ToyCon that's going to be coming up also that we'll be a part of. So that is on the – that's also – oh, that's the same day as ROH.
13th, 14th, and the 15th.
Yeah. So,
and that's going to be at the Eastside Cannery, and FSW is going to have a night on the 14th, I think it is, Saturday mm-hmm. night, where they're running a show. So catch that, and then you can catch FSW's Mecca at Samstown on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a lot of wrestling going on that weekend. You got Friday and Saturday ROH, and then FSW is on that Sunday, and then ToyCon runs all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And we'll be there. So we will be letting you all know about the excitement that's going on all those shows in ToyCon. So with that, Simon Street, any final words?
Final words. For all you ladies and gentlemen, especially the males. Remember all those times you went and used the restroom, and maybe you were the lucky person that washed their hands, but notice half the motherfuckers that came in there didn't wash their hands? Now is the time to tell them dirty, nasty motherfuckers, mm-hmm. wash your hands for 20 seconds, motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. 20 seconds. Yes. So that you don't spread the nasty coronavirus. Keep your ass clean.
There you go, King Lucky.
It was a great weekend wrestling. Look forward to getting on the road to WrestleMania here and seeing you guys in Tampa, Florida.
All right. And Mr. Matt Michaels, the man with the last words.
Shout out to all of our fans in India.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate the time. Please, if anyone in the States, if you're out and about, purchase a newspaper so Mr. Greg Deal will have a job in the future, especially anyone in South Carolina. Please help him out. And Mr. Deal, if you are listening, remember, you can find the results for all the wrestling shows, if you go to the Google machine, it will lead you to the right results, okay? And also, if you do go to the Google machine, type in Lemon Party.
What the fuck is a Lemon Party?
Yeah, what is a Lemon Party?
Oh, it must be a white boy thing. Go ahead, guys. Type it in.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Lemon Party. Hold on. I'm about to look that shit up right now. It better not be like the blue waffle. That's all I'm going to say.
What the hell is a blue waffle?
Look that shit up.
Oh, my Lord. Man. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, you've never got the blue waffle at Cracker Barrel?
Wow. I ain't never showed it at Blue.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Hold on, time out.
Okay.
Look, real talk. I'm not even gonna say shit on the podcast. It Impact, just look up the Lemon Party, and the first thing you see, it says tired of Obama's sour lines.
Oh my God. With that, you all, thank you for listening, and remember, tell all your friends, especially the wrestling fans, about us, and we will continue to entertain you as we do. Until then, we're out. Take care. Bad Boys of Podcasting.